the name of Jesus, amen. Sermon for this Monday, Thursday is according to St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, and 1 Corinthians 11. In our epistle, we find the same words of institution that are found in the Gospels according to St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke. Because on this night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he also took bread and a cup to institute the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In his Gospel, St. John does not speak of the institution of the sacrament, but the washing of feet by his disciples, by Jesus. Why is this not a rite commanded by the Lord? Why has it never been a rite in the church for 2,000 years? Why is it not a sacrament like the Lord's Supper? Why has it never been listed as a sacrament? Because it was an object lesson for the disciples on administering the sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The first point is these, as those who follow Jesus, especially those called to be stewards of the mysteries of God, that is, the word and sacraments, must be prepared to humble themselves as Jesus was humbled on the cross. Those who would have a responsibility and authority in the kingdom of God must be servants of all. Jesus commissioned the apostles with the preaching and administration of the sacraments, not to rule over others, but to care for the sheep. The custom was for the servants to wash the feet and their master and his guests after the first glass of wine before dinner. However, Jesus himself took off his robe and taking a towel, he girded himself. He then put water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Jesus sacrificed his body and blood to pay the price of our sins once and for all to win us the promise of eternal life. So this object lesson also applies to the nature of the sacraments. The dialogue between Jesus and St. Peter applies to baptism. Then he came to Simon Peter, and St. Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What you do, I do not understand now, but you will understand later." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part in me." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been washed need only wash his feet, because he is all clean, and you are clean, although not all of you are clean." Good old St. Peter rescues Holy Week again. He St. Peters the heck out of this one, doesn't he? "Okay, Lord, don't do it. Don't do it." That's his first call. "No way. You're not going to do that for me because you're the Jesus. And I'm only the Peter." And then Jesus says, "Well, no, I'm actually going to do this." "All right, then don't stop there." It's like he can get it wrong twice. I just love Peter. He gets it wrong coming and going. It gives a pastor confidence and hope. It really does. Because when you're entrusted with such miraculous things, and I am nowhere near in St. Peter's caliber of theologian, Christian, anything. And yet in the Bible they show us that, hey, well, you don't know everything, Peter. But thankfully, he works for the guy who does. I can live with that. And I will live with that eternally. So we see him coming at him from both angles. Don't do it all or overdo it. But then we do start to see that Jesus, and he'll follow up on this, baptism is necessary. Those who want to be saved should be baptized. Because in baptism, according to St. Paul, we die to sin and share in the resurrection. If I don't wash you, you will have no part in me. However, Those who receive the regeneration wash once and are clean, and we don't have to have the same person baptized every Sunday for every bad week they have. At baptism, we are named children of God forever because Jesus Christ died once for all forever. Baptism is remarkable. Baptism is God's way of going, look, let me keep this really, really simple. Water, my words, that's the promise of baptism. Isn't that remarkable? Don't you love how God takes the simplest things in the world and goes, oh, this is universe changing. But it's water. Universe! I love it. That's why I love to talk to people, Christians and non-Christians alike, who just need to hear the blessings of the washing of regeneration. Oh, tell you what, universe! If I don't wash you, you will have no part of me. However, those who do receive this, this is when they become his. This is a universal, this is objective, this is justification. But for everyone to receive this promise for himself, everyone must be baptized. You can't phone it in. I can't phone it in any more than I can phone it into you. You can't be like, can you do this over the phone? This is something Zoom can't do. Those who reject baptism are rejecting the promise of Jesus Christ. Universe! The new life in Christ begins at baptism. But before our resurrection, we are all still sinners, and we always fall into sin. For this reason, the Lord instituted the sacrament, not for one more thing to do at church. Not for just one more thing to pile on what you have to do just to be part of the club. But he does it for the forgiveness of our sins and the restoration and nourishment of your faith. Universe. Because we always fall into sin, we must receive this sacrament. And the sacrament is not a repetition now as we move into the Lord's Supper. For those of you who are listening on the recording, you missed an April Fool's joke that I made about the Lord's Supper. But the truth of the matter is, even in the Lord's Supper, it's not a kind of bread that you're going to have a hard time making. I do it with my first communion kids, and many of them are pretty young. Am I right? It's not a hard bread to make. Wine, if we had to make it, which I have never subjected my congregation to, because it would taste awful, but is not hard to make. It is not a complex beverage to make. But the promise that comes with it, and he doesn't do it so that we have a buffet table, but because we fall into sin and we must receive this sacrament frequently. The sacrament is not a repetition of the Lord's sacrifice on the cross. He doesn't get crucified every Sunday, but it is a means of grace in which we receive the body and blood for the nourishment of faith that the Holy Spirit created in us in baptism. It's almost like Jesus is being consistent. Furthermore, to our epistle, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and we all say in the back of our heads, amen, come Lord Jesus. To receive the sacrament is a confession of our faith in the Lord's second coming in glory. But there's that caveat, isn't there? That he's being serious, that this isn't just some memorial meal, as many of us have been tricked into believing in some point in our lives. There's a caveat. So anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup unworthily will be blamed for the Lord's body and blood. Therefore, each should examine himself and thus eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Doesn't sound like just a simple memorial meal. The fact is, Jesus sacrificed himself. He sacrificed his body and his blood for everyone on the cross and everyone who receives the body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine. But those who receive it with faith and repentance receive the body and blood of Christ as a blessing. But those who do not receive it in faith and repentance receive condemnation. To receive the sacrament requires the instruction in what is happening in the sacrament, to discern the body and blood in the sacrament. And it's so funny. People get so upset about that. And I'm like, seriously, have you ever met the Lutheran pastor that didn't go, "You want to learn something about something? Come to my office. We will do this." They've never go, "Oh, I don't want to talk about it." By nature, we just want to tell you about everything. It's even in our call documents. And has been since the founding of our synod. That we would instruct those in who we care in the proper reception of the Lord's Supper. It's written into my contract. It's one of those things where I'm like, well, duh, that's why I became a pastor. Those who receive this receive a good thing. So that's why we want to teach people about it, not just go, yeah, here you go, here you go. But those who live in open sin without repentance must also receive this. Brokenness, this sacrament so often is taken as somebody who is already perfect in life. So come on up, you've done everything right. If that was true, then we would never even need to lift that, the altar pyramids of it, because none of us would make it, myself included. It's something that God has given us for peace, comfort, strengthening, forgiveness, and salvation. It's my elevator speech. Come to my office if you want to hear the whole thing, the whole what I'll call the Empire State Building speech. So tonight we thank God deeply, humbly, repentant, thanksgiving for the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross that we will commemorate tomorrow as well. Also for the new life we have in baptism. That though we die, we will never die again. Life at baptism and the spiritual food and drink in the Lord's Supper. God be merciful to you and give you the peace and the knowledge of what you are given is for your good and for your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.